Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, I want to welcome you to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. I do want to thank you for joining us today. I want to thank you for sharing with your friends and family. We just reached the 675,000 milestone here in the United States, over 100,000 overseas that are following and listening to us. So thank you again. Now, today, we've got something very, very interesting. Folks, artificial intelligence has been here for a while. For all its benefits, there are some big time drawbacks. Scammers use AI to mimic voices of loved ones in distress. There's lots of headlines like this one. Artificial intelligence is making phone scams more sophisticated and more believable. Scammers are now using technology to clone voices, including those of friends and family. We have Simon Horswell, AI and deepfake expert with Onifato, to help us understand what's happening and what we can do about it. So with that, I'm also going to be talking about what are the signs to delay your retirement. As I said, we're going to be talking about AI scams today. We have AI and deepfake expert Simon Horswell. He used to work as an immigration officer in the UK for almost 10 years. He became an expert document examiner and he excelled up the line with Onifato, and he's a fraud special senior manager. Now, that probably doesn't, it's not indicative of all that he does. And I'm going to bet he has some really cool stories. But today we're here to talk about AI and the scams. Simon, welcome to the show. I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks for inviting me. It's great to be here.
Let's start talking about AI. First of all, I'll just say this. AI has been around for years. The thing is, now we're starting to hear about how people are using AI to mimic voices of friends and family, to scam people out of money, all sorts of things. So could you kind of shed light on that for us?
As you say, AI has been around for a long time. Artificial intelligence, or probably to give it a more technical term, machine learned ideas, machine learned models, they're not new. And to be fair, the kind of thing we're talking about, voices being cloned, people being emulated, this isn't that new either. It's just taken more of a prominence lately. It's become more common. This is something I think we started seeing scams being perpetrated for, I think, millions of dollars back in 2019. You were having CEOs or bank managers were receiving calls from people with the correct voice or the voice they were expecting to hear, being told to transfer money. So it's not super new. It's just grabbing a lot of headlines because now everybody's talking about AI. It's become a lot more accessible, which I think is the problem. Previously, we're talking about something that was harder to perpetrate. You needed more technical ability. The facilities weren't as readily available, but now it's become a lot more prevalent, a lot easier to get hold of, and indeed a lot easier to use. And that's why we're starting to see this increase.
So my understanding is younger people experience fraud and financial loss a lot more than older people. But we all know older people have much more to risk because obviously they have more money. So what's happening with younger people where they're experiencing more frequently? Is it more trusting? Is it just they're so in tune to the technology and don't think? What do you see that as the issue?
I think that's definitely part of it. Younger people embrace technology more quickly. I think kind of anyone who knows anyone who's got kids of a certain age knows that, you know, the common thing I hear is, they know how to navigate the iPad better than I can. They can set up the TV quicker than I can, or, they create a hotspot. I don't even know how to do that on my phone, something like that. And I think that's part of it. There's kind of a fearlessness. And with it, maybe there's a naivety or maybe a lack of education. But certainly, while young people might stray onto things or click on the wrong link or accidentally download something, I think the problem we have is that old people are much more defenseless because it's all a bit alien to them. And just the idea that something like this could happen is maybe a bit beyond them. Whereas young people will kind of get exposure to it. You'll have even TikTokers or someone on YouTube talking about the fact that they've just been hit by this scam. So they'll put it out there. So then people become a bit more aware. Things will pop up on social media posts. A lot of the older generation maybe aren't in touch with social media or in any of these avenues. So they don't get that exposure to it. It has to come from more traditional means that they're probably more in tune with their lifestyle.
Give us an idea of how one of these scams would take place. I understand they're mimicking voices, but kind of walk us through what somebody might hear if they were to get a phone call or how an email, that type of stuff.
So the one you're probably alluding to is just recently we've had not just one, but a couple of cases where a parent has been phoned up and they've heard the voice of their child and I've been in an accident or these people have taken me. And then the fraudster will then come in and ask for money, or if it's in case of a car accident or a theft, the person will then continue to tell them, can you send me money? Do it via this means. I haven't got any other access to the funds. And the problem is that it's a cloned voice. So it sounds exactly like the person you're expecting to hear. At least the tone does, the sound does. Maybe they don't use the same phraseology. And that's kind of one of the key things that I'd sort of tell people to look out for. But at its essence, all of these scams are basically the same as the classic imposter scam. Now, I don't know if the people who follow you are necessarily aware of the imposter scam, but we've had these around for quite a while and they might be more familiar with it in the email form or in the text message form, or possibly even the social media version, like post on Facebook or Meta or whatever, where someone is purporting to be someone else. I'd had an old colleague email me and say, oh, I think it was a blanket email. I'm in this country. I've just had all of my stuff stolen. If any of you can send me some money, then it will really help me out until I can get everything sorted out. And they'd elaborate on the story. It will be 2 or 3 days before my passport comes through and I need my passport to get a new bank card. So I'm completely stranded. Now, it's the same idea. It's just now what fraudsters are doing is they are using voice because people are even less suspicious of that, especially if it sounds like the person. Previously, people would have maybe pretended to be that person. They would have put on a voice or tried to sound like that person. Now you've got AI-generated apps that can synthesize that voice or clone that voice in real time. So it's, you know, with a minimal amount of recorded data or media of that person saying something, so you've got just that small amount of training material, they're able to generate literally anything. So the fraudster can either type or speak, and it will be cloned almost in real time. It's very, very difficult.
That's scary. I was just thinking back to probably 7 or 8 years ago when my grandma was, who was in her 90s alive, she got a phone call from somebody who sounded like my older brother. The person said that he was in Mexico. He was in jail, need a little bit of help to get out of jail and all that kind of stuff. Grandma's kind of the smart type. So she calls my dad and my dad calls my brother, who is in the middle of a meeting at his office. And it was just like, whoa.
This is exactly it. This is a prime example. And what you've touched upon there are some of the key things that people need to be aware of. So with any scam, certainly any of the scams I've seen, there's always a time-sensitive nature to it. There's always some kind of emergency. And with these imposter scams, they really play on that. That urgency puts a sense of panic into the victim or the target so that you are kind of forced to act quickly, not think. This is urgent, urgent, urgent. You've got to deal with this now. It's an emergency. There's no time to ask questions. There's no time to take this at anything but face value. So that's kind of step one. It's all part of the social engineering that goes behind these scams, which is why they're so difficult, particularly if you're a parent and you're hearing the voice of a loved one, you know, one of your children, your parent alarm goes off. So kind of like reason almost goes out the window if you're not careful. And if you're not aware that this kind of thing is possible, then yeah, it just makes it all the more dangerous.
Yeah, I was just thinking you could put a parent in that bubble. It just gets them. And there's millions of people in the United States. There's hundreds of millions of people. So they just need one that's not aware.
It's a numbers game. It is completely a numbers game. With any of these scams, if you look at the email scams and the text message scams, like the romance scams in particular, I think kind of have been, you know, quite well advertised not so long ago. The whole point with those is, when you actually read the text, when you read the syntax of the sentences, the spelling mistakes and everything, then they can appear quite obvious. But that's because they're not targeting you. They're looking for the person that isn't picking that out. That's the person they want. So it's almost kind of like a screening, if you like. You can gauge someone's intelligence or their suspicions, as it were, towards a scam. And that then allows you to go, this is going to be a viable target. We'll keep this one going, as opposed to, oh, they spotted it or asked a question straight away. We'll save our time and we'll just go on to the next one. So it is, it's a numbers game, but with a screening sort of facility in it.
So Simon, you're going to want to stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Staving with Steve. We need to take a break.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Today, we're talking about AI scams with Simon Horswell from Onifido. Got that right. Just wanted to make sure. So we've been talking about how the fraud takes place, how the scam takes place, how they can actually recreate a person's voice in a very short period of time. Simon, how long does it actually take to do that?
It depends on the model. It depends on the tech that's being used. You know, some people have said it takes about 10 minutes worth of material, like 10 minutes of media to listen. I've read other places that it can be done with as little as 3 seconds. But I think it's down to the variety and the tone. If you can get sort of the right material across in that very short 3 second gap, because you'll be surprised how much you can say in 3 seconds, then that gives you the right frame of reference to train a model. Again, there's varying degrees of how well these models perform and how well they emulate them. And there's certain things that people can do to try and listen out to it. So I think in the first segment, I was talking about phraseology, so how people talk. Listening for pauses, interacting is another thing as well. So they have to react quickly. If you're cutting someone off mid-sentence, then it can't be something that's completely synthetic. It can't be a recorded message, as it were. You try and get people to interact live. If you were talking to a real person, then they would be able to answer questions in a reasonable amount of time. There wouldn't be a pause. You would expect varying tones in their voice. Other things you can do, I mean, one thing that's been suggested with friends and family, at least, you have some form of code word. That's not a bad idea, but I think maybe that's a little bit difficult. Doesn't work with everybody, but what you can do is certainly ask questions of that person that you and they would know. And not the obvious stuff like, when's my birthday? Not the kind of stuff you can find on the internet because you've posted it on social media, but just sort of like, you know, what did we say to each other last? That kind of thing. The kind of thing that is kind of personal and a bit off the beaten track that isn't easy to look up. Those kind of things, in the heat of the moment, it might be difficult to remember this, but it's really important that you stick to those kind of rules. Always listen out, because there will always be some kind of ask. It will be financial, or it will be something that will lead to your finances, or it will be personal data, something that you really wouldn't normally give up. So you have the ask and you have the urgency. Those are the two main things.
First of all, let's start with the ask. What are they typically asking for in the way of money?
It depends on the scam. But yeah, sort of with the imposter scam, it can quite often be wiring money, but it will be to an unknown account because I've lost all of my account details. It kind of sounds plausible. I think when we've seen these kind of scams pop up in business, it's things like gift cards, cryptocurrency, anything that kind of is untraceable, so that someone can take that and that's the money and that's safe. You can't come and retrieve it. I've got it. You can't track me down. So gift cards have been quite popular. But as I say, crypto, it lends itself to this as well.
What you're saying is they're asking for compensation, so to speak, or income or dollars and cents in something that most people don't normally deal with. So in other words, they're not likely going to ask you for a traveler's check because it's going to have to be made out to your relative. Exactly. It's not going to happen.
Okay. Exactly. Again, sort of like wiring it to a bank account because it's a friend, you know, something like that, or wiring it to this account because it's a dummy account that's been set up and there'll be someone there to retrieve it because you don't have to go down to the bank in person to retrieve it. You just do it online. Literally, the minute you know it's gone in, you pull that fund out and then it's gone.
Yeah. And then just shut out the account. And then what type of informational requests are people making?
It could be as straightforward as sort of credit card details. It could be something along the lines of like a PIN number. It could be any of your personal details that could then be used to perpetrate a scam further down the line. You'd be amazed at some of the personal details that you don't think are that important, but it turns out that's the key to open this up. So I always remember when I was at school, it used to be this thing where it's like, oh, your porn star name is your first pet's name followed by your mother's maiden name. And we all thought that was great. People were going, oh yeah, it's this, that, and the other. Don't say what it is. Because quite often back then, certainly, and then for several years afterwards, your bank questions would be, what's the name of your first pet? And then next question would be, and what's your mother's maiden name?
Really?
So you posted those online. Yeah.
You know what? You got me. I didn't even think of those. And I started going, what would mine be?
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. It pulls you in. I think there was another one that was like, what would be your Star Wars droid's name? Because, you know, it's like R2-D2 and stuff like that. And it would be like, oh, let's have this bit of your zip code and let's have that bit of your social security number or last three numbers on the back of your card or something like that. It's any way that they can kind of tease this information out of you. And it doesn't seem that much like, oh yeah, my mother's maiden name is, oh but yeah, my first pet. He was I remember whose name was this. But that then sets up later on for
someone. Here's the odd thing about it. That's 45 years old. So anybody that's in their 20s to their 60s could get hit up with that. Wow. Yeah. So I'm trying to go on.
Well, I mean, the other thing is we've got so much of our lives now is on social media. And you'd be shocked when you find out how many people don't have privacy settings on something like a Facebook page or something similar. And we post so much of it on there. Me and my colleague, we used to joke in training about, you know, doing remote examination. Someone would do something like put their driving license online. I just got my new driving license. There was even a story of one girl who put her first bank card online. They went, oh, really? Why are you guys always asking for the three silly numbers on the back? They're this, this, and this. And then a couple of weeks later, so I had to get a new card. Apparently there was some fraud on my account. It seems innocuous if you're not paying attention, but it's all quite straightforward. If you post everything online, then you're giving people more about your life that maybe you didn't intend to.
It was real interesting that you're talking about that. And remember the movie, Catch Me If You Can, with Abinall? I was at an event where he was talking about those things and he was telling us, he says, many people post their birth dates online and then they talk about where they're born. The difference is in the 80s, scammers used to have to go down to the recording records and all that stuff. Now they can sit in their underwear and coffee in the morning and go scam from somebody because people provide so much information.
I'd seen him at another exhibition as well. And I think one of the questions that someone in the audience put to him was like, do you think you'd find it harder if you were trying to perpetrate the same things now? And he said, no, it's even easier. That's the whole point you're making. It's we post so much, we give so much away. So much of our lives is done online and we don't think about the consequences of some of the stuff that we leave out there. And it does make a big difference. It's certainly now as well. You mentioned sort of someone sitting at home doing it. Well, the benefits of AI is a tool. AI means that we can scale stuff up. We can do it more quickly and we can do it in vast numbers very, very quickly. But it's a tool. We can use it for good or we can use it for ill. And unfortunately, at the moment, what we're seeing is a lot of fraudsters have just jumped on the AI bandwagon and are able to generate lots of stuff really quickly. And they'll do it at home or they'll do it in an office space or they'll do it with a group of people where they've got a structure. But it's very, very simple. It's that much easier now than it's ever been because of all the things that are that much more available.
It's so interesting about after he did that, I went and looked at Facebook and then, oh my God, almost everybody I saw that I knew, they were, you know, I birthdays people when they passed away, where they used to live, where they went to high school, all these things you'd end up on a credit application. You're like, oh my God, people can steal. It's like a free, it's free.
Yeah. You don't have to go hacking. You can just do a load of stuff just by reading the internet. And as I say, so many people don't set up privacy filters. Lots of people I know do, because I probably talk to them about it in an evening or something. It's scary how open people leave their lives because they just don't think that something like this is happening. We have to educate and make people aware. All of these things are down to awareness. It doesn't prevent it, but it certainly makes you less susceptible to it or a bit more cautious.
Simon, this has been wonderful. I mean, this has just been an eye-opener for me because I do reports for the local news about stuff like this, but usually somebody gives me the information. And when you were saying that, I was like, oh my God, I never thought of that. There's a CEO in the San Diego area that somebody called and said, hey, we're from the IRS. We're trying to transfer your thing. Your last few numbers on your bank account, you know, it's just not allowing to go through. What are those numbers? And they gave them up. And next thing you know, that account was wiped out.
Yeah, of course.
And she was like, can't believe it. But in all it was just her moving too fast, trying to get to the next task. So
yeah, anything like that, again, another tip, always phone back and verify the source.
I know.
Even if we're taking it back to the AI voice cloning, if we're saying, you know, I've received a call from this loved one, verify it yourself. Take a step back before you take any action, verify it.
The question should be like, hey, where's the biggest scar on my body? So somebody goes, oh, okay. Or do I have a tattoo? Or what did we do last week? You know, that type of thing. So I totally get that. So here's my big question. Your organization does a wonderful job doing this. And we have people who run companies, work with companies from all around that listen to our show. How can people get a hold of your company to help with issues like this, to help them with their corporation and so on?
Certainly. If you reach out to us at Onfido, that's onfido.com, then you'll be able to find a whole load of stuff. We've got material that myself and the rest of my team have been putting up there. You can reach out to us and we'll give you more information about how we can better protect your business, how we can better protect your customers, and the best way forward.
Simon, thank you so much for being here. Could you say that email address one more time for everybody, or that website address?
Yep. Onfido, that's onfido.com.
That's perfect. Everybody, this is Simon Horswell, AI deepfake expert at Onfido. Thank you for being with us today. We very, very, very much appreciate it. I definitely want to have you on again. And with that, you're going to want to stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Staving with Steve. We need to take a break.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. You know, everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Today, we're going to be talking about the signs you need to delay your retirement. Okay, so for example, you're still in debt. According to CNBC, the average American has over $90,000 in consumer debt. The amount varies by age, but having a lot of debt is a sign you need to delay your retirement. Debt, especially high interest rate debt, will put a strain on your retirement finances. With high levels of debt, financial emergency, its unexpected costs, it literally can make or break your golden years. You know what? What if you're struggling to pay your bills? Retirement is a significant milestone. It's crucial to ensure financial stability before you take the leap. If you're having difficulty meeting your financial obligations in your current income, retirement is exacerbated by the situation. On the other hand, if you delay your retirement, it can give you more time to save up, pay off the bills, even waiting 1 year can make it much greater financial stability when you get into those retirement years, because you really want to be comfortable when you're retired. Next, have a plan for emergency healthcare expenses. Healthcare is a substantial consideration and expense during retirement. Most individuals are eligible for Medicare, and with retirement health plans, additional years of employment might be a lifeline for maintaining necessary and potential healthy, costly health insurance coverage. It's not just about the money. It's about securing health, which is paramount to enjoying your golden years. Because what I've found, if people don't have the health insurance or don't have the money, they go to the doctor whether they need it or not, and that creates a problem down the road. Next, you have an accounter for Social Security. Hey, you can take Social Security at 60Q, but you won't qualify for the full retirement benefit until you're 66 or 67. And, you know, obviously it depends on your birth date, but it's a significant portion of your retirement. It's one of the guaranteed income streams that you're going to have. You want to make sure when you look at your retirement that Social Security is being maximized in the context of maximizing your assets and retaining your assets. I mean, some people find out it makes more sense to wait till they're 68, 69, or 70 because they get an 8% increase from the age of full retirement all the way up to the age of 70. The next piece, which is very important, is not having a comprehensive financial plan. Having a financial plan for your retirement years is one that accounts for things like expected longevity, lifestyle goals. If you don't have one, you might want to delay retiring. If you don't have a financial plan that breaks down your monthly, quarterly, annual budget and income in retirement, I recommend taking the time to iron these things out. This means having an in-depth understanding of your expenses, potential future expenses, rate of inflation, how those factors may stack up when you're compared to your retirement income. Without that critical roadmap, you're going to go into retirement financially blind and very vulnerable. Now, next, not having an emergency fund. Bottom line is you need 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. I like 6 months, okay? You never know what financial emergencies you're going to bring in retirement. By having the extra safeguard, you're going to put yourself in a position where you're going to not have to cannibalize other assets and reduce your lifestyle in retirement. Next one's a biggie. Experience significant investment losses in retirement. If you have investments, consider the current state of the market before retiring and withdrawing from them. For example, right now, if you take a look at what's going on, most people are investing based off the headlines. And what they've seen in the last few months is, you know what, the market went out 16, 17%. It's almost back to even from November of 2021. So that means people have taken almost 2.5 years to get to the point where they're even, and they've still been spending money, which means they're cannibalizing their assets. On top of that, the market's still completely overvalued. I mean, it's trading at 31 times its earnings. And you're seeing significant financial bubbles economically. So if you look at those conditions, you say, hey, if I'm going to retire in the next few years or this year, it makes sense for me to take steps now to look at assets that create a smooth retirement by providing income and dividends that won't cannibalize my assets and have a significant downside protection. Okay. Because the reality is if the market is experiencing a downturn when someone's considering retirement or in retirement in the first 4 years, it could mean locking in losses if they don't need to start with if they need to start withdrawing that money. And like waiting another year or not being able to be prudent financial decisions could also ease the mental strains of watching a lifetime of savings take a hit when you need it. The big thing is this: nobody wants to change or reduce their lifestyle in retirement. So make sure you have the right investment allocation, because the last thing you want to do is reduce your lifestyle. And with that, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us today here on Saving with Steve. It's been wonderful. We had Simon Horswell, which has just been outstanding. What a lot of great information. That organization at OnFido, they're great. So with that, I want to thank you all for joining us today. We'll look forward to seeing you next time right here on Saving with Steve. See you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton.